I want to stress that you are absolutely under no obligation to be at that meeting. I've already told my wife she's not going. But I feel very strongly relative to family camps that we want to maximize certainly our time with the Lord and under the sound of the Word, but also we want to maximize our time with family. That's why we bring children to camp. So if you've got plans for your kids, don't you change them unless you get Joe's permission. He's been speaking on the family. You better spend your time with the kids. But if you don't have anything to do and you'd like to come along, I assure you the message is not a heavy one. It's one that I've enjoyed giving and the truth of which I've enjoyed and appreciated. So if you'd like to come along, we'd love to see you. But again, it's kids first. And spend it with your wife or your husband and the children. Well, we come this morning to our last study on Elijah. But Elijah is no more. We saw that last evening when in the goodness and greatness of God, he was summoned into his presence. Elisha had seen the rapture of his mentor, Elijah. Elijah had gone to be with God. This man, whose name we learned at the outset meant Jehovah is my God, had gone to be with him. He's there in his presence. Now Elisha, his successor, is going to serve God, and he's going to carry on his work. And his name, too, has an interesting meaning. Jehovah is my salvation. And every one of us can say that, can't we? Isn't that great? That God prepares and fits men to carry on the work begun by the man whose God was Jehovah. And he selects the man whose name meant Jehovah is my salvation. 29 times over, Elisha is referred to as a man of God. Isn't that great? If I could ask each one of you, how would you like to be referred to? What epitaph would you like on your tombstone? I'm sure many would say, I'd like to be known as a man or a woman of God. No higher accreditation. For 9 years, Elisha had been the disciple of Elijah. And as you study the life of Elisha, you will learn that he had learned well from the man whose God was Jehovah. Now, let's pick up the story as we go this morning to 2 Kings chapter 2. And let's read in at verse 11. We splice on here with last evening's theme. And it came to pass, as they still went on, Elisha and Elijah talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. The Hebrew Epistle, chapter 13 and verse 8, we have the text. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pause and pray. Father, we thank thee in the precious name of our Lord Jesus again for the privilege of being together on this beautiful Saturday morning. Please just draw us to thyself. Put a circle about us, a hedge about us. Keep out the defiling, distracting influences of life. May we hear thy voice this morning hour, we pray, in our Savior's precious and ever worthy name. Amen. Theme of our study this morning, you've already read it. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? It was a question that Elisha asked as he began his service for God, and it was proven ever so quickly. When Elisha took the garment, the mantle that had fallen from Elijah, rolled it up and smote the waters, they parted as they had earlier. Is Elisha's God Elijah's God with me? I'm sure that most of us have asked that question at times. When we seek to serve him and long to know his presence and his power with us, and we have said, is the Lord really with me? If he is, why am I not seeing more in the way of blessing? Why are the saints not being encouraged? Why are sinners not being drawn to himself? And we say with Elisha, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Is Elijah's God with me? Do I really care? You know, I think I know some professing believers, and it's never given them a thought. They're far too busy in the material realm to be concerned about the spiritual. And as far as God being with them or not, that's secondary to say the best. How unfortunate. Oh, beloved, that you and I might leave Greenwood with a passion to know the presence of God in our lives, to be conscious day by day and moment by moment that he is here, he is with us, and he is using us for his glory. That's your desire. That's mine. And let's labor before God to know and to appreciate it. Elisha realized that exploits had been done by Elijah for his God, and now he wanted to see the same happen in his life. The service and the ways of God might change, and they were. They were now going to be directed by God through his servant Elisha. And although the servants would change, the God who was on the throne and who would direct the affairs of men would know absolutely no change. No change, Jehovah knows. And in this, I know you and I rejoice. God changes, but not his word, nor our God. Unchangeable in every way. Isn't it great to be able to take the promises of this book and make them our own with a confidence that the saints of distant ages did the same? God bless them, and God's going to bless you and me and keep us for his glory until we hear the shout. As far as Elisha was concerned, he had anticipated Elijah's rapture. And we too anticipate that rapture, the rapture that will be effected when our beloved Lord rises at his Father's bidding from his throne. And the summons is given, child, come home, and believers will rise, be it from the grave or be it from the planet. We will rise to meet our beloved Lord in the air, and we will be with him forever and ever. Elisha was seen as walking in God's ways after the rapture. After the rapture, Elisha followed on in the ways of God, ways that had been taught him so well and so clearly. Beloved, we're waiting the rapture. Are we seen as walking with God before the event? If there is anything that, according to Scripture, should keep us pure and clean and holy and with a desire to live for God, it's the imminence of the rapture. And I believe that as Elijah spoke that day to Elisha, and he said, Elisha, if you keep your eye on me and you see me go, then you'll get the request that you have made. You'll receive that double portion. And so, beloved, as we look forward to the event, and I stress again, without apologizing for repeating the fact, I believe the rapture is imminent. It must be. It must be. And so we look forward with the greatest of delight. So we have seen this man, Elisha, as he now wears the mantle and goes forward to be the mouthpiece for God, replacing the great, highly revered Elijah. Turn over, please, to 1 Kings again. And this time, we go to chapter 19. And let's read verses 19 to 21 of this chapter. 19, 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. So he departed thence, that is Elijah, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose, and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. Wish we had more time to spend in these few brief verses. But in them, I believe, beloved, we get an insight into the man, Elisha, this man upon whom the mantle had fallen, this man who was to take up the reins and follow in the plan and pattern of Elijah to serve his God. This was the man, Elisha, who realized that God was calling him. Elijah had come along, seen him plowing in the field, and I'm confident God had spoken to Elijah and said, "Elijah, there's your successor. He's got his hand on the plow." And Elijah goes over to him, takes off his mantle, and throws it upon Elisha. What did it do? I believe that right then and there, it identified Elisha as the man who was to follow Elijah in the great work of God. Things were going to change in Elisha's life. The plowman was to become a preacher. What a contrast. What an honor, whatever the occupation, to be called of God to preach God's word. And that's what was going to happen in the life of Elisha. Elisha had been faithful in plowing until God called him. But come to think of it, those are the kinds of men that God calls and God uses. Men who have proven their faithfulness. I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel, and I feel strongly, that men who are called to minister God's word and to preach God's word should be men who have had an experience in the workplace. They know something of the day-to-day experience of working with men and women. They know something about the problems and the difficulties that face people in that situation. And with that as a background, plus, of course, the knowledge of the Word of God, then they can come forth at His bidding to do His work. They have proven themselves in the secular realm. And now, called of God, like Elisha, they can come forward to prove themselves in the spiritual. And as Elisha had learned, and learned well at the end of the plow, there were things now that he could apply in the spiritual. As a plowman, Elisha had to learn that he was to keep his eye on the target at the end of the furrow, or where the furrow would be. And he was fixed his eye there. He couldn't have a moving target. He could not be a vacillating individual. He must have his purpose fixed. And he must go in one direction. And beloved, so it is with you and me, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Whatever we do, in the secular or spiritual, we want to do it well. And I believe with all my heart that God has chosen Elisha as the successor to Elijah because what he had done, he had proven he could do well. It's tragic when a man suggests that he has been called to the work of God, and the only reason he feels that way is because he hasn't been a success in the spiritual. I'm sorry, in the secular. Prove yourself there, and then, under God, move to another calling. This man had to learn that in plowing a straight furrow, he had to have steady and strong hands. Those that could be used in the service of God, whether before the people of God or behind an ox, he was prepared to serve. And beloved, so it is. I believe that as we serve the Lord in the assembly, we prove ourselves there. And as we prove ourselves in the assembly of God's people, then we qualify for service in other areas as well. And so for the young men and the dear sisters, young sisters and older ones among us, let me encourage you. Serve the Lord. Prove yourself in the assembly. And when you have proven yourself in the assembly, then the Lord will move you to other areas of service. And so this was the experience of Elisha. He had proven himself there in the field as a faithful man. Not only must his eye be kept on that fixed object and his hand steady and strong in the plow, but as well, this man must know the soil. If he wanted to see a harvest for God, he must know the soil. He must know how to work it. He must know how to treat it and prepare it so that when the seed was put in, it would in effect die, and then it would bear forth much fruit, as our Lord Jesus Christ said. And so to know the soil takes skill, doesn't it? It takes the study of the Word. It takes the study of people, that in turn we might identify in a very sensitive way their needs, and then under God to plant the seed that will cause the growth within the individual. And so the seed then must be known. And as the seed is placed at the proper depth, at the proper time, then God in his goodness can use that to bear fruit which will be eternal in nature. Like Elisha, we want to be faithful in every task of life, in the secular as well as the spiritual. Plowing is hard work, and it was extremely difficult in the days of Elisha. No air-conditioned tractor cab to pull the plow. Boy, he was out there in the blazing sun. An instrument with which he plowed was nothing like those of our day. It was hard, hard work. Brother, if you're going to serve God's people, you're going to learn it's hard work. It will take demands on your time and your ability. It will take the time of your wife and your family as they release you to the work. But Elisha knew what it was to be hours and days behind the plow, controlling those ornery beasts at times to make them plow a straight furrow. Beloved, may we know much of his presence. But then there's something very, very precious. This man did not immediately become a prophet. No. He had to work. He had to work. I remember years ago, long before I served as an elder in my assembly, a young man wanted to have gospel meetings. The elders of the day felt that he really wasn't qualified and that he should spend time with a seasoned servant of Christ. He refused. He went off on his own. And although he has remained in the work up to a point, I wouldn't consider his work as having been a success. God knows better. But I believe with all my heart that a young man will see God's blessing on his life in direct proportion to the way he's prepared to work with and learn from men who have worked and followed God. And so this was the kind of a man we have in Elisha. He was faithful in the difficult task of hard work behind the plow. And he didn't immediately become a prophet. He commenced his service with sacrifice. Notice what he did. Had those yoke of oxen, and as Elijah has placed the mantle upon him, he asks his permission just to go back home. And isn't it precious and moving as he does? What does he do? Well, he kisses his father. I think this must have been a good family relationship. His father loved him. And I'm sure that that kiss that would bid him goodbye to the service of God was indicative of a father's blessing upon his boy. And of his well wishes that God would use him in a very precious and wonderful way. And so he kissed the family goodbye. The family ties were broken as this young man was given to God. Thank the Lord for every young person, an older one too, who has been prepared to make the sacrifice of family. And then, having done so, to go out to serve. And it's a continuing thing. You know, I confess to you, Helen and I were looking forward to meeting Ann Reese again, who we've come to know and to love. She had to stay back home. Joe had to come. Thank God he was able to bring Mark with him. But there was sacrifice in the service of God. Not only on Joe's part to be here by himself, and I'm sure he'd love to have dear Ann with him. But Ann had to make a sacrifice and say, Joe, you go. But God honors that. As only our God can. And so Elisha is about to leave. But then he does something else in the area of sacrifice. He sacrifices the oxen with which he is plowed. He builds a fire. He slays the sacrifice. And the sacrifice is consumed. And then with it, he feeds the family and the people that are there. I think Elisha is saying two things. I'm finished with the old way. I'm moving now to serve God in this capacity. I won't need those oxen. I won't need any longer the plow. I won't need the harness and all that goes with it. No, he burns them. And he slew the oxen and he boiled their flesh in verse 21. And with the instrument of the oxen for fuel, he gave to the people of God so that they could eat. I'm sure there were those who looked at Elisha and said, hey, Elisha, you've been out in that field in the strong sun far too long. Elisha had learned God's will and all was going. If he was to bid goodbye to the family, he was certainly prepared to bid goodbye to those oxen, those 12 yoke of oxen that had served him well. Brethren, sisters, be assured of this. There are sacrifices to be made to serve God in the home, in the assembly, without going a half a globe away. So much to be done. Oh, then, that God in his grace and mercy would impress these things upon you and upon me. And so, Elisha fed the people of God that he knew so well. Another man who did much the same thing, he was Gideon. The people of Gideon's day are locked in combat. And where's Gideon? He's in a wine press. A wine press was a huge stone vat. And he's down inside this vat. And what's he doing? He's trampling out the grain that he might from it get the grain from which he could make the flour and feed the people of God. Nobody can see him. Gideon, why aren't you out in the battle? Gideon would say, I want to feed the people of God. What did God? How did God assess it? God said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. God, you must have things slightly out of order here. This guy is just down trampling out grain. He isn't risking his life out there in battle. The Lord says, he's a man of valor. Why? He's working hard. He's threshing out the wheat so that he in turn can feed the people of God. And God needs men who are prepared to pay that price. And God says they're valorous men and valorous women. Dear sister, don't you think for one minute that feeding God's people is limited to the brethren. It may be in a public way, such as we exercise at the moment, but I believe with all my heart, I know that what is needed among us today are godly women who will take the dear sisters, put their arm around them, and say, this is the way, walk ye in it, to teach them the ways of God. I heard a brother lament very recently, oh, I wish that there were older sisters in our assembly that could teach the young sisters. That's what Peter enjoins them to do, that the older sisters should teach the younger sisters how to love their husbands. And some of us, let's face it, we need a lot of loving. And there are so many ways in which it can be taught and suggested. But oh, dear sister, go in for knowing the book, and then being used of God to teach in that capacity. Where did Elisha's service start? That's right. Started at home. Started at home. It didn't start out there when he was watching Elijah's ascent to the skies. No. Started back home. Where a father knew, and I believe with all my heart, a father does not put his arms around his son and kiss him as a mature man. That starts when he's a little boy. You know, Helen and I have two kids. Alan and family are at Lilola this week serving the Lord. He's an electrician by trade, but he's a fantastic cook. So if ever you go to Lilola, make sure you go to family camp, because that's the one at which he cooks. But I love that boy, and I love his sister, and so does their mother. But Helen has often said to me, when Al was a little kid, I had the habit of kissing him on the head. She said, it's a wonder he's got any hair left. You know? And I still would be happy to take him in my arms, because I love him. And that's the way it was with Elisha. God knew that this man had a good foundation, I suggest, and God could use him in the service of the Lord. God alone knows what will happen, beloved. If young people and older ones too get their eye on a man of God, having had that good foundation laid, and then to follow the Lord, I trust we're prepared to sacrifice and to follow. What a blessing it will be. But then, notice the spiritual sensitivity of this man. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, let's just flip back over that to reinforce the thought in our mind. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He wanted to be twice the man of that Elijah was. We stressed this a little last evening. He wanted a double portion. It's interesting. The right of the firstborn was the double portion. Now I wonder if Elisha was saying to Elijah, you know, it's through you I've come to know God. Maybe he was the first one that Elijah had been so used to teach the ways of God. Maybe Elisha looked at Elijah and said, in effect, I'm your firstborn. He was his son in the faith, and he wanted to be twice the man that Elijah was. I've already mentioned that 29 times it said of Elisha, he was a man of God. What an honor to be a man of God. Oh, beloved, what we need, and I repeat, we need men who are men of God. Someone has said, if we had more Pauls, we would have more Timothys. I believe it. I believe it. You young men, in your 30s, your 40s, aspire to be men of God. Be Pauls, that Timothys might follow you in your onward course to the glory. I mentioned last evening, Paul could say, be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Can I say to that young man in my assembly, Gary, imitate me. I wish I could, because I'm trying my best to imitate Christ. It's interesting. At Antioch, here was this new breed. They said, who are you anyway? Well, we're just followers of Christ. And they gave them a nickname. Antioch was noted for its nicknames. They called these guys Christians. Do you know what the word meant? Little Christs. Oh, what a name. I wonder, beloved, do they look at me and see a little Christ? I'm afraid it's very little. But wouldn't it be nice to have that kind of a name? Let thy Spirit fall upon me. The breath of heaven, that's the thought behind it. Elijah, the breath of heaven's been on you, and I want it on me. Oh, that when I pass by, they might know that there is a fragrance about my life that bespeaks the fact I know something of God. How wonderful. Remember when Joseph was taking those disciples, Nicodemus rather, and those spices out to Calvary. I like to see him, that 100-pound sack on his back. He's walking down. Where are you going? Doesn't miss a step. Going out to Calvary. And he's passed. There's a fragrance in the air. Something that wasn't there before he came. And beloved, that's the way it is. Men of the cross and women of the cross, they have a fragrance about their life that bespeaks the Savior. The Elisha says, I want to know the breath of heaven, the breath of God upon it. He wasn't interested in the material. He'd left them in smoking ruins back on his father's farm. But now he was out to do exploits for God. But you know, the sons of the prophets, these men who knew that Elijah was soon to be raptured to the glory, they quickly identified the fact that the spirit of Elijah rests with Elisha. They knew, because they knew God. But then, ever so quickly, 2 points. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 16. Go there quickly. Second Kings 5:16. And he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. What's the story? Putting the verse in context, it is simply this. Naaman, the military head of the Syrian army, is a leper. Word has come to him of the prophet Elisha, and if he would only call for the prophet could heal him of his dread disease. But the prophet doesn't respond. He merely sends back the message, go dip thyself in the Jordan 7 times. And he objects, but finally reason reigns, and reluctantly he obeys. And what happens? He comes up without a spot. He has swallowed his pride and he has lost his leprosy. He became a convert to the God of Israel. No longer would he sacrifice to other gods, but he would sacrifice to the Lord. Go wash in the Jordan, and he obeyed. And men who want to be cleansed from their leprosy of sin must come God's way And you must come that way if you're a sinner this morning. Humiliating and humbling though it might be, you've got to acknowledge, God, I'm a sinner. I'm a poor, depraved sinner, and I need your salvation. But then, what happened? Why? Naaman wanted to give him a gift. And he said, why, I want you to take this blessing. And yet, as he offered it to him, Elisha said, no, what has happened in effect is of God, and I am not taking any remuneration for it. Beloved, I think there's a lesson here. God's gospel is free. We preach it freely. And men, we pray, will be reborn and saints blessed and refreshed. Psalmist said 49 verse 7, no man can redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. Men still try to buy their salvation. But it's not for sale. It's still a free gift of our sovereign God. And if salvation is available as a gift, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ has died for it, we invite men to accept it. And as far as Elisha was concerned, in verse 16, although Naaman had urged him, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, he says, I will receive none. I won't take it. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. What a man. What a man. But then, in conclusion, we have seen the man was spiritually sensitive. We've noted that he was spotlessly sound. He wouldn't take anything for which God should get the credit. But then I want you to notice a sorrowful sovereign. As we go to 2 Kings 13. 2 Kings 13, 14, verse 14. And Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, and he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, term of greatest respect, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. The king came to view the death of this great man. And in verse 20, and Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. The great man died, but then all men die. And even the great men of God must pass away. How important then that at life's close, one be able to look back and say, I prepared this man's heart, this woman's heart, under God, to pick up the reins and follow on. And that should be your desire and mine. A life of service for God had come to a close. But his ministry did not end at his death. I enjoyed the lament of the sovereign as Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face, and he said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. You know, what would you think if somebody said, well, you were like a horseman? Doesn't sound too flattering, does it? But you must appreciate what Joash was saying. He was thinking of the most powerful weapon in the arsenal of Israel. And he said, why, Elisha, you were like our strongest chariots. You were like the strongest horsemen that we have in the military. But you were for God. We would say, why, that man was like a cruise missile for God. That's what Joash was saying. Wouldn't it be great to be known as that kind of a man for God, as was Elisha? King Joash thought that he was the strongest force to be known in all of Israel. Chariots and horsemen, why, he was superior to them. And it's interesting. That's exactly the way that Elisha had seen Elijah as he went on his journey through the skies. And here, he's at the end of his life, and another looks at him, and he says the very same thing. Did he follow on for God in the footsteps of Elijah? Elisha most certainly did. The power of God was evident during his life. But then you know what? They buried Elisha. And then when marauding bands came and men were afraid of being overtaken, they took and they threw the body of a dead man into the grave, and it touched the bones of Elisha. And that man revived. What's the point? The point is this, beloved. Even after this man's in the grave, his ministry and his effectiveness is going on. Wouldn't it be great to be that kind of an individual that even when life is over, still the effectiveness of the life is known by God and for God, and individuals are being blessed by the life that has come to a close. The body's in the grave, the spirit's with the Lord. And so it was in the case of Elisha. I hope and I pray that death will not bring an end to my ministry. And I'm sure you feel exactly the same way. Wouldn't it be great to be in the glory and be introduced to someone, and they say, you know, God used you to point me to the Savior, and I went on for God. Well, by the way, here's one of my souls. There's another and another that I was used under God to see reached for the Savior. Beloved, this was the life, very briefly, of Elijah and Elisha. Are there any Elijahs or Elishas in your assembly? Will you go home and be one? I pray you will. Don't advertise it. Just show it. And God will bless you. Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of being here this week, and for these beloved saints of God who have listened and been so attentive during this week. We thank You.